Well, before Susan Johns comes up to teach on chapters 34 and 38, let me read a verse she has chosen, and it's a verse that represents these chapters that are dark and often strange well. Here are Joseph's words.
And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. David won't actually make the journey to Jerusalem until 2 Samuel chapter 5, the next book after this one. This is years later. But perhaps this is another example of God pointing out that David will one day rule Israel, and his journey to the throne began the day he defeated Goliath. In verses 55 and 56, an interesting question of David. He asks, "Whose son are you, young man?" David answers, "I am the son of your servant Jesse the Bethlehemite." Saul's curiosity over David's heritage is an interesting one. It's the type of question that should make the reader recall that David is from the right tribe and the right family. He's from the tribe of Judah, and from the tribe of Judah the scepter shall not depart. I don't think Saul knew this prophecy. I think otherwise, if he knew it, he would have killed David right on the spot. But he doesn't
know about how Hannah had a high view of God. Jonathan and David had a high view of God. They were warriors of the faith. They were willing to risk their lives for what they believed in because they wanted God above all else. They had a love for him that had reverence and fear in it, a love that took sin seriously. They didn't want to dishonor God by not trusting him. They were humble servants of God who knew it was God who fought their battles, not themselves. Do you remember when David said, "The battle is the Lord's," and then whacked off Goliath's head? Then it was Jonathan. Do you remember what he said before he took on the Philistines? "God can save by many or by few. It's up to God." They were not lukewarm followers of God. They trusted him in such a way that they were willing to launch out in difficult situations with great confidence in God's power and God's victory. Can we trust God like that? Stephen, my four-year-old, loves for me to take him to Chick-fil-A with his friend Josiah Summer. Except Stephen says, "Can I go to Chick-fil-A with JoJo?" I love taking them, and everyone thinks they're twins, and I just say thank you. But back in March, we met an employee that was so kind to us. Now, all the employees, right, are trained to be polite and say it's a pleasure to serve you. But I could see she was different. I could see her strength was in God. So I said to her, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" She said, "Yes, I am." And her name is Mary. And when I told her I went to college church, she said, "I'm giving my testimony at college church for the missions festival." So if you were at church that weekend, you met Mary, full of the Holy Spirit's love, joy, and peace. That is how our lives are supposed to look to the hurting world around us. Out of her heart flowed streams of living water, which is the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's from John 7:38. I think one reason why 70% of our young people in the church today are leaving the faith when they go to college, this is a true stat according to Barna, is that they've never understood the love of God. They know it intellectually, but they've never experienced God's love emotionally. Most Christians do not really believe and accept the fact that God loves them as his own, that we're his children in whom he delights. I love how C.S. Lewis responds to a friend who asks, "For what